Today on the Unofficial Shopify Podcast, I want to share an experience with you that was rather unusual for me, probably unusual for you too. I recorded a Facebook ad with Ezra Firestone. Okay, that alone does not sound wild, but when Ezra Firestone does it, it can get a little wild. He had 30 people, I believe, cast and crew in New York, people flying out from all over the country to film a Goodfellas spoof parody that would be used as a Facebook ad. So Facebook ads, we need the thumb stoppers. We need the hook. People are jaded. They've got just glorious colors from social media going into their eyeballs. And it's up to you to put the right set of colors together to get them to stop scrolling for a second. And maybe making a parody of a movie they love and really putting in maximum effort, whole-assing it, is the trick to do it. A wonderful experience. And so while we were there, after we recorded that day, you know, we're still high on our achievement. I sat down with Molly Pittman, who works with Ezra at Smart Marketer, and we discussed why someone might do this.
You do that and your other line.
We got Molly Meatball over here. Hey, because you did that thing for me, I'll give you 10% off. Come on.
Your ad budget's got to be big and
I think we go with that. That's why. All right. We're cracking ourselves up with we're so funny. Why? What are we doing?
Well, Kurt, we've had a big day here in upstate New York, and we filmed a commercial.
All right, when you say commercial, this was like shot on iPhones. What did we do here?
No, we had a pretty intense, full-fledged shoot, like a professional video shoot.
I noticed there was, well, how many people were involved?
Probably about 30. I would say like 10 were Smart Marketer, Zipify people, 20 were friends of friends that, came to help. And we had professional video gear. We were in a bar. Like 9 a.m., smelled like college.
Like we rented it. We had not appeared.
No. They knew we were coming. We rented out a bar for a couple of days to do this shoot. We had props, some of them in which you actually hand cut. A lot of crafting went into these props.
I did produce some props.
We got some meatballs from Subway.
There were, yeah, prop meatballs.
Pasta was made the night before.
So clearly there is a...
There was a lot of fur.
There's a particular stereotype of Italian-Americans that's occurring here. What was the theme to this commercial shoot?
Okay, so today we did something we love to do at Smart Marketer, which is create movie spoof ads. We put these on YouTube. We put these on Facebook, Instagram. We run them as paid ads. This is probably the seventh or eighth time that we've done this. And this was a spoof off of Goodfellas, now known as Goodsellas. And the goal was to entertain people, make them laugh, and also tell them about our smart e-commerce product, which you are also a part of that.
And I think
they need to watch it, though.
Surely they need to watch it. I think it probably works, you know, as an audio adventure. But if you've seen Goodfellas and you want to do this thing justice, check the link in the show notes. This thing is just phenomenal. I'm thrilled to have been a part of it.
Yeah, you got to see Kurt as a bartender, guys. If you listen to this show, you've really got to see Kurt in his element. You thought he was a good podcast host? Wait until he's part of your commercial.
It turns out, yeah, I've been training for a ridiculous bit acting part as a bartender, complete with gold chains, which I kept. I took my prop gold chains home.
You looked like a used car salesman. Nothing against that.
I felt like one too. Little Gil's got to make a sale. This took 2 days, a ton of prep work. Surely this cost tens of thousands of dollars.
We did it on a budget. Like, we're getting good. We own a lot of the camera equipment, okay, right? The bar was not that expensive. People flew in, so there's some costs there. Like, there was some costs, but it's probably not what you would think. Like, I would say we probably spent like 10 to 15K.
And the, you know, if I had to guess, I would have gone with 30.
Yeah, no, we didn't.
Yeah. Okay. Because it, you know, seeing the finished result, really impressive. I was like, this had to have cost more. That still, You said you're using this for Facebook ads?
Mm-hmm.
You spent $10,000 to $15,000 making a Facebook ad?
Just one.
You're a maniac.
Hey, it works.
What has possessed you to do that? How do those unit economics make sense?
Well, I think it's something that's naturally fun for our team. You know, Ezra and Josh, who also works with Smart Marketer, Ezra and Josh work together almost every day. They're both very creative and funny and kind of came up with this idea back in the day to do the Ad Father, which was obviously a Godfather spoof. We did one off of Forrest Gump. We had Back to the Future of paid ads. It was me with a DeLorean knockoff. there's the Big Lebowski. So this is a theme for us, and it allows us to, well, again, it's something the team likes to do, right? Like, these are fun projects, which I think in this industry, sometimes things can feel a little bit dull sometimes.
A little corporate.
Yeah, that's why we like to do it, because the team likes to do it. Like, Kevin was directing, Ruben wrote the script, like, everybody plays their part. So I think it brings fun energy. And then I know that the market feels that. You know, sure, it costs $10,000 to $15,000, but if we sell, you know, 10 smart e-commerce courses from it, we'll make our money back, which we definitely will. So these are assets that make us way more money than you would think, right? Because we're always running traffic to them, or at least when we're during a launch of that product. But it's also how we make the market feel. You know, our market can be kind of boring, especially when it comes to ads, right? And these are assets that at events or when I'm on podcasts, people are like, ah, I saw you in that Back to Future ad. And it's so different.
So, all right, what I'm hearing here is find the fun for the resources and assets you have. So, like, within your team, there was this common theme, kind of everybody enjoyed this idea and they enjoy making these spoof commercials. And so you're just running with it, and they're getting increasingly elaborate because you're getting better at it. Mm-hmm. Are you going to hit a limit at some point, or are these just going to keep getting crazier until you're like producing your own Avengers movies?
I don't know. I mean, I never would have thought we would be here having this discussion. I never would have thought I would have been Molly Meatball today.
I think one of the other things I'm hearing is zig when they zag. You're like, look, all the other material in the space.
It's different.
Is boring.
It's not stuffy. And as you guys heard, it was all e-commerce jokes. So it's creative and it makes the market laugh because it's something. When do you hear digital marketing jokes?
If you hear it, you see it and you get it and you laugh, you now connect with it.
And you know it's for you.
You identify with it. Okay. Mm-hmm. I like that. Is this a repeatable process for other brands?
Not necessarily. It could be. But it's not something you could force. Like, this isn't something that you're like, hey, team, we have a new project. We're going to do this. This is something that naturally, okay, you have people on the team that are really creative, that maybe like to act, or they want to write scripts. That's where a lot of this came from. Kevin and Ruben are awesome copywriters. They were looking for fun projects among the email flows and landing pages and your typical marketing projects. And, you know, Josh and Ezra kind of had been making jokes about whatever these spoofs were going to be. And this creativity came together. And then it was like, wow, let's actually make this happen. So, yeah, I think it could be repeatable, but it would need to be your own flavor because it has to be authentic.
Authenticity and it's not, is our buzzword.
Yeah, and it's not just... it's not just a project, right? It can't be forced. So I think it would look different for every company, but I think every company, sure, there is some sort of creative expression that could, you know, come about.
So then, you know, the ad really does nothing to pitch the particular product right up until the end. Then, hey, the CTA is a lead magnet?
Yeah, which we've gotten better at because the mistake that we made in the past with these is we would mostly call out products that are only available or mentorships like Train My Traffic Person or Train My Email Specialist once or twice a year. So then we can only use them once or twice a year, which they're still profitable assets, but we're getting better at, okay, let's make the call to action something that is evergreen that we can run all the time. and would work to cold traffic, because we don't necessarily in the information space want to go directly for a pitch of the product like you would with a physical product.
And so you're going to use this for, is this evergreen? This one's just going to run continuous?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The lead magnet, which is the e-commerce growth map, which we'll put in the show notes, that's something we're running ads to at all times. So it's a really high converting funnel for us.
Okay. And so it's worthwhile given, you know, end result is high AOV purchase, mm-hmm. and top of funnel is lead magnet. Then we need this really splashy, high production, in joke, culturally relevant, authentic thing that is absolutely different from everything else in that space.
Mm-hmm. And we don't need it, but we think it's pretty funny.
It is pretty funny.
And these shoots are so fun, and it's different from shooting courses or meeting up at an event. Like, it's a great way to bond and show our personalities too, because I think that's a big reason people come to Smart Marketer. Lots of people have marketing information, but, you know, we all have different flavors. It's not too dissimilar from the Harman Brothers or what you see with a lot of e-commerce companies with these highly produced kind of funny, humor-based ads. It's just we are actually the ones that are acting it out and making it happen.
Yeah, those really, those highly polished, high production, straight up commercials.
Yeah, people will pay up to like $500,000 for those.
Yeah, it's not, I've been familiar with a few of those productions, and they're hit or miss if they worked.
Right.
And they still cost six figures.
Right, and ours is very low budget.
Yeah, and so relative to that, but like it still has the look, because you still shot on a really extraordinary camera setup. But I noticed like a lot of it was rentals. And you didn't have to purchase the equipment.
Yeah.
Some of it you own.
Yeah, we own a lot of it and we purchase the things that are unique to that shoot. But again, leaning on the strengths of our team. Like we have a great video team. Anthony's been with Smart Marketer for 10 years now. I mean, he is top dog. He knows his stuff. We have Ruben, an amazing copywriter that writes these scripts and enjoys it. We have Kevin, who's producing it and leading it and has experience in these types of shoots. And then we're all just kind of weird and funny and willing to play the part.
And all right, so the first, this is number seven. When did the budget go up? Was it gradual or was it like, all right, let's just go for it?
And that's a guess, by the way. I think there's like 7 to 12 maybe. Because also Zipify produces these, which I don't really have anything to do with. I just get to watch them. I don't really know exactly when the budget, probably when we did Back to the Future and we had the DeLorean, because that was an investment. I think we rented it from a guy in Rhode Island.
Yeah, I've yet to.
But we needed that.
Yeah, that's the critical piece there. But surely renting somebody's DeLorean for a shoot, not cheap.
No.
Did you drive the DeLorean?
I did not. No, I don't think we were allowed to drive it.
Oh.
So it was in a garage, very Back to the Future themed. Josh was the scientist. There's a fog machine going. And the car is just sitting there. And I get in the car and press the buttons. And it was pretty fun. We got a link to that one, too.
Yeah.
But you'll see how different that one was, for example, versus this one. And the reason Goodfellas is maybe a little more expensive or whatever you want to call it is also the amount of people involved, right? So the travel, and there were a lot of us, where Back to the Future, I think there were just three of us in that one. So that's another way to simplify it. Like you'll see Zipify's Big Lebowski ad. That only has three people in it, and they shot it in the back of a car, Ezra's car in his driveway. I mean, there was virtually no cost to that at all. No one traveled there. It was only people that lived near Ezra, virtually no cost. So there are ways, if you are creative, to do this for almost nothing.
You have a phone, and you can try and recreate the shots from the movie. The script is probably the hard part.
I think you should rent a nice camera if you can. That would be the expense, because I think it does give it this...
You get that cinematic look.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need the big glass.
Yeah.
Hey, aren't you forgetting something? If you're not using One-Click Upsell, you're leaving 10 to 15% of your total Shopify revenue on the table. One-Click Upsell is the number one upsell app for over 15,000 Shopify stores. Listen to these brands. Tushy, Dr. Squatch, Buffy and Victoria Beckham, and guess what? It's already made sellers, just like you, an extra $750 million in upsell revenue. With one-click upsell, you can add AI-powered upsell funnels to every product on your store, including upsells on your product pages, shopping cart, checkout, and thank you page, even on the shop app. So you increase your average order value automatically. And getting started is a breeze. You can install the app, launch your first upsell, and start making 10 to 15% more cash from every customer beginning on day one, as in today. Don't leave behind another dollar in free upsell revenue. Go to Zipify.com/Kurt and try one click upsell free for 30 days. That's Zipify.com/KURT.
But yeah, you could do it on your phone. But it's more about how can I connect with my audience? You know, how can I make them laugh? That is something that we miss in today's social ads, right? Most of them are logical or emotion or, you know, there's another hook used. It's kind of hard to do humor.
Why do people, yeah, everybody avoids humor in
because it's difficult.
Business.
It takes creativity.
You think a lot of people aren't funny? Most men think they're funny.
Most people probably think they're funny. I think that humor is something you can't force. Back to kind of the beginning of the conversation, it just happens. It's like these jokes just develop into these movie spoofs. So I think when we're building most marketing campaigns, it's like there's a timeline. This has got to get done. And so infusing humor, I think it's even more than creativity. It's just there's not really a lot of space for that to show up unless, I don't know, that's very natural to you, I guess. But for us, that's why these aren't even on a timeline, right? It's not like we do two of these a year. Like we purposely don't put structure around it because it's not something we necessarily need to do. We benefit from it. But again, it has to just organically come together.
So when you've got this library of ads, how often are you reusing them? Like what's the life cycle?
We use all of them at different times during the year. So we're using some that are 6 years old. That's also what's good about this is that it's humor and it's not based off of digital marketing content. So it doesn't expire.
Oh, it doesn't date it. You're right. Yeah, these are like 30-year-old movies
right, that
you're spoofing.
And like I said, the only mistake we've made is specifically mentioning products. So that screws us up or that could date us. But the content, probably in 15 years. Like, will we be talking about email marketing? I don't know. But Kurt, would you ever create one of these ads for your company?
I mean, I would love to think I would and I could. I think if I put in the effort, I think for sure, with experience, maybe I get to, closer to the level that you're producing this stuff at. But I know that sounds like a challenge. Maybe I have to now.
I think you should. Go ahead.
I did have a ton of fun playing Carter Bandon Brandon.
I mean, you played him well. You whipped that cigar box out with the 10% off. I mean, but if I walk through, if you wanted to do this, kind of walking through the process, I think it first starts with the idea, which does take time. Then that idea, whoever comes up with it, and it's usually two people or three people together building, like Goodfellas that we just shot has been a joke or like an ongoing conversation for probably 5 years. So this is closing a loop on that. So whoever, in this scenario, it was mostly Ezra, Josh, and Ruben, they brainstorm, we all agree on the idea, and then that goes to the copywriter, in this case, which was Ruben, which made it even funnier, I think, because he was part of the creation of the idea. He writes his script, that goes back to Ezra and Josh, they change or add, the jokes changed right up until they were delivered. Like the original script and what you guys see are, probably 50% different.
Yeah, I was there the day before the shoot when they were setting up and trying to figure everything out. And so I got to got to rehearse, but also got to see the process and figure out like the lines and the blocking. And yeah, a lot of it was just like improving, trying stuff, suggesting things, just seeing if it didn't work. Like, oh, it didn't work? Okay, let's try something else. and figure it out as you go. Like, you can't, you got to be flexible in that original plan.
Yeah.
Because when you, you know, best laid plan, like, once you're in it, it's very different.
Yeah, I couldn't be there that day. So you also played Molly Meatballs.
I did get to come flying through a door a couple times as you're standing. Though, like, we would skip to easier lines. So, you know, as, like, placeholder. So I just, like, kick the door open and yell, Molly Meatballs!
I'm impressed. I need a video of that. But yeah, after we agree on the script, knowing that it's going to change, then it more so does become a project in the company. So it's handed over to Christina, our project manager. She's working with Kevin, who's producing and really going to be live producing. And Ruben, who's, you know, helping to make sure everything looks in the way that he sees it in the script. And that's when we go into planning mode. So, you know, everything's booked. The dates are decided on. The travel's booked. The crafts are ordered to make our props. You know, whatever that we need, everything is then scheduled mostly by Christina. And then, you know, sometime before the shoot, you know, this time a few days before the shoot, Ezra sent us all a video reading through the script, explaining how, you know, what the vision was, how the lines should be read if possible, just explaining any details that were needed. And then we show up. You guys did the day before. I couldn't make it. I was at some meetings at Facebook. I kind of wish I was with you guys.
We did have fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of standing around. It's also a lot of fun.
Yeah. Shoots are a lot of standing around. That's why I sound like I do right now.
I heard your Facebook event was pretty good.
It was super cool. It's like 200 marketers in a room.
All right. So we got the process here.
Yeah. And then it happens. We missed that part. So
right.
Rehearse. You guys figured a lot out the day before. And then the day of, you know, we had hair and makeup. We got all dressed up. You had your chains on. I had my big gold earrings on. And, you know, and most of you know this if you've done anything with video, but what you see that's probably 2 minutes long, I mean, that took 6 hours or so. So we probably 18 takes on.
Yeah, I think it was 18 takes for that one scene. Mm-hmm. And then that, like, the closing scene, that was like 8 or 10 takes on its mm-hmm. own. But figure we started, we were there by 8, filming by 10, like starting to shoot by 10, and then by 3 cleaning up. It's a lot. It's intense.
Yeah. Yeah, it went smoothly, though. They haven't always gone that smooth.
And this was, you know, it's one continuous shot.
Yeah, and so this was.
It was a question like, would that be possible? Could you get one continuous take? Because, you know, nobody hears it. Well, a few people have a little bit of acting experience. Like, most people with speaking roles weren't actors. The extras were just like, you know, somebody's neighbor.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we're just marketers.
I don't know. That.
And then it, you know, it goes into post-editing. And then we all look at the different versions and agree on it. And then we plan launching the campaign.
So I get that. I like the process. Mm-hmm. It's fun. And you're, run me through the movies again.
Okay, these are the ones I can remember off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So we have Forrest Gump, Big Lebowski, Back to the Future, Goodfellas. I'm blanking on the other ones. They'll come back to me while we're talking.
So those are all cultural touchstones.
Mm-hmm. Which also, a weird nuance here is I have only seen probably 20 movies in my life.
What?
Yeah. People think I'm weird. I don't know.
I do think you're weird.
I am very weird. And so I actually don't have references for these movies. I watched them before, obviously, okay, just to get a feel. But what's funny is that I still find them entertaining. So I don't think you have to have actually watched the movie to, I think you appreciate it a lot more if you have. But that's something I wanted to point out. Like, people find it funny a lot of times, even if they don't have the reference.
Yeah, I guess I enjoyed The Adfather, and like, everybody's familiar with it. I've never seen The Godfather.
I forgot that.
Yeah, I've never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, how can you not laugh at Ezra talking about a cannoli?
Goodfellas, though, that's like, ew. A movie I've seen 2 dozen times. And so knowing, like, oh yeah, this looks like very much has the feel and the tone and like the movement that that movie did that added legitimacy to it, like just made it really fun. One of the things, like before product launch, often advice is like, hey, you got to validate this before you go build out this thing, before you invest the money. Validate it, figure it out. Do you do any validation here, or you're just that confident?
Well, we know that the thing we're going to promote is something people want, right? Whatever the lead magnet or the whatever the call to action is, we know that's something people want. So I know that in the way of the offer, okay, that's been validated. We would never create one of these around something that we didn't know if it was going to sell well. But no, we don't know how the actual ad is going to perform. But in our space, it's not like, also, this is not a B2C space where people are used to seeing humor and, you know, these more highly produced assets. So in the marketing space, especially, it just, quote unquote, hits differently, as the cool kids would say.
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah. Vibe check.
It's different. Because most people are not putting this much effort into their ads.
It's funny that, like, B2B marketers, advertising to marketers, they phone it in. They're like, look, you see through the smoke and mirrors. I'm just not going to bother.
Yeah, it's like selfie video in my car, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's, when I think of marketer videos, it's always the selfie video in the car. Are people still doing that?
I hope not, but I don't know. I still see it in my newsfeed, sadly. Like, I wish it wasn't happening, but it is.
Years ago, I used to upload a weekly vlog in which I just monologue in my car for like 20 minutes on a topic.
Do we have access to this?
I'm pretty sure all that stuff's still up.
Can we link to that in the show notes?
Yeah, why not? I'll link to it in the show notes.
I can't wait to listen.
At the time, I was driving a manual car, too.
That's a lot of work. Was it really jerky?
Nah, it wasn't bad.
Wow, you're steady.
I mean, if I would strap the phone to the... I would just use two zip ties, and I would just zip tie my phone to the sun visor. And then I would just drive around and, like, practice extemporaneous speaking. And then I didn't edit it. I just uploaded it like that. I just exported from the phone and uploaded it. It was like, noodled it. Anyway, that's how I got 3,000 subscribers on YouTube. I couldn't believe it.
That took some effort. I didn't expect you to say zip ties. I was imagining you driving with your, just holding it in your hand. Oh, but yeah, I will, again, caveat that this is not for everybody, but no matter who you are or what type of business you have, I will encourage you to, how can you bring some humor and true creativity into what you're doing? Because go the opposite direction of what other people are doing in your market, and that is going to show up way different for everyone depending on who they are and their team. So the takeaway here should not be, okay, I'm going to hand this process to my team and tell them, hey, we're making movie spoofs now.
I know.
Like Smart Marketer.
That's going to happen, though. Somebody's going to send them, be like, we should make this. And they're like, are you serious?
Yeah, we're gonna see movie spoofs more after this podcast episode, probably.
Yeah, we should be so lucky.
I hope so. Go do it. And if this is inspiring to you all and this sounds exciting and you have the resources, tear it up. There's nothing more fun that you could create in your business. Like, this is the most fun thing we do.
Hmm. Yeah, it did. It is in part team building exercise, isn't it?
Yeah. And even if, obviously we can't bring the whole team. I think we had 10 people there that were either Smart Marketer or Zipify or you, who is now, I guess, on the Smart Marketer team. And we have 50 other employees that didn't come. But they get to participate in seeing the end result and thinking it's hilarious and reading the script and giving feedback. So even if they're not present, it's still a feel good. It's a, we do this at my company.
All right, so what's it? I mean,
really quick, nothing gets more comments for us on social media platforms than these ads, because people think they're funny. They want to let us know. They want to give props that, we went out of our way to create this. And that really helps from an ad perspective, because we know more social proof sends positive indicators, CPM's lower. So it really is a great ad type too, because of that social proof. Like I said, this, I hear about this all the time. I'll see people at events or, be talking to them in one of our courses and they remember it. That they engage with us and that ad pops up. And that's really cool. That's relationship building. I mean, that's truly marketing, in my opinion.
This episode is brought to you in part by Cleverific. Here's the rub. When customers can't make simple changes to their orders, they get frustrated. It's not just a minor inconvenience. It is a major roadblock in customer satisfaction and retention for you. This frustration doesn't just upset your customers. It bogs down your support team with requests that could have been avoided. And that means slower response times, increased errors, and ultimately, a hit to your brand reputation. But it doesn't have to be this way. Enter Cleverific. This tool allows customers to make changes themselves through a user-friendly customer portal, adjusting, adding, or canceling orders with ease. And the proof is in the numbers. Take Peter Manning, New York, who slashed their support tickets by 99% using Cleverific. These tools are not just about solving problems. They're about transforming your business operations for the better. And for a limited time, Shopify merchants can take advantage of Cleverific's exclusive podcast offer, 50% off their Pro plan, now only $49 a month, granting you full access to every Cleverific feature. Visit cleverific.com/unofficial. Use code SHOP50 today to start your free trial and claim your discount. That's cleverific.com/unofficial.
All right, let me give you my takeaway.
Please, Kurt.
I say this with great love.
Yeah.
Embrace the cringe.
It's so cringe. You all, I've also been educated by Kurt the last few days on Gen Z slang. So cringe is one of them.
Yeah, my teen sons who will tell you just about anything we do is try hard. That's a brutal one, oh, try hard.
We were try hard today.
Yeah, we were trying very hard, and that is cringe. There's like a 26-year-old listening to this, and it was like just on the highway, opening his car door and rolling out. Nope.
Hey, we're truly millennials, and it's showing.
Hey, no cap.
But Kurt, what was your takeaway as a participant?
Embrace the cringe. It was like this, I pushed myself way out of my comfort zone to do just an absurd character act. Just an outrageous thing for something that will be seen by thousands and thousands of people for years to come. I just, like, the worst Italian-American accent, the whole gold chains, just ridiculous.
I would have never have thought it was out of your comfort zone. Like, you were the most comfortable person. And why is this normal to me? That's what I'm realizing right now. I'm like, wow, yeah, that's what we did.
Because once I did it and embraced it and saw it, like, there's, you know, another guy there, Josh, who was like really, really leaned into it hard from the moment we walked in there. And he just looked like he was having so much fun. And when I saw that, I was like, all right, I need to match that guy. And that's not easy. And so once I was concentrated on doing a good job, I don't want to be the bottleneck in anyone's process.
Oh, and if no it's one like, wanted to be. You don't want to be the bottleneck in a one shoot scene.
And if it's like, all right, you got to go hard on cringe to make this work, deal. I'm in. And I did it. And it was all like the result worked. That's my takeaway. Embrace the cringe if you want to make good marketing.
What did you think when we reached out to you about this? And what did we even say?
It was like, hey, we're going to shoot a commercial. It's a parody of the movie Goodfellas. It's called Goodfellas, and you'll get a character in it, in a line, and, you know, would you want to do it? And I didn't ask any follow-up questions, just committed promptly, enthusiastically, because I had seen the other videos, because I had read the comments on them. I'm like, I wanted to see what other people think of this. I was curious, and like, you know, it's, you know, laugh, cry emoji, you know, cry emoji, all they... But people loved it. It was very positive. And so I was like, all right, you know, knowing that, like, I want to be a part of that. Why not? And I'm glad I did.
Yo, we have to tell you where the meatballs came from.
Oh, the meatballs.
So the meatballs were obviously important to the story. And I didn't think about us actually having real meatballs there. Like, my mind hadn't gone that far. And Ruben and Kevin went to Subway and requested meatballs, or a meatball sub without the bread. Just the meatballs.
This poor guy used to work at Subway.
He's trying to close.
Yeah, it's like 8:30 at night. These two guys are like, hey, weird question. You got any meatballs? We just need only meatballs.
And he's like, how many? He gave them 10 meatballs for free.
And then he went home that night and was like, these two guys came in and they definitely did something weird with these meatballs.
I just needed 10 meatballs. And like, also, a caveat too here is we're upstate New York in a really small town. This isn't happening in like New York City or LA, which makes it a lot cheaper. But also people were very confused by
us. Oh, yeah, we're just moving camera equipment out. And a guy runs up and he's like, the whole... It was a 40-year-old man on a skateboard, which, all right, that immediately, I'm like, well, that's odd.
We're in his Irish pub.
And he had kind of an innocence about him. And he's like, the whole town's talking about you're filming in there. And he was like, what are you guys filming? Oh, geez. It was a little odd. Is this a hustle? Are we getting robbed?
They think that some huge corporate company is shooting this, like, crazy, highly produced commercial.
And... you know, McNulty's pub or whatever it was.
And it's just us.
And it's like, oh no, it's like an in-joke for a few people. These guys are just real maniacs. I don't know, swing for the fences. It's like, I saw what was possible today.
Let us know what you guys think.
I'm inspired. Yeah. Tap, swipe up, swipe right. You know, just
click the link.
Yeah. Paw at your phone until you get the episode notes up. Ask Siri. It will include all that links to all these things in the show notes because they're too funny. But Good Sellers. Good Sellers is the commercial we filmed. Check it out. I hope it inspires you. Just do something creative, fun, different, something that maybe pushes your comfort zone a little bit. Because if your Facebook ads aren't working, maybe it's because you gotta step up the game a little bit.
Yeah. Action step is just be open.
Yeah, be open to it.
Yeah, push the comfort zone.
Well, thank you, Molly Meatballs.
Thank you, Kurt. I will never forget your role here in this commercial and your bartending skills. I was a little underwhelmed, but you played the role confidently. You looked like you knew what you were doing. I mean, you were wiping down that bar.
I wiped down a counter.
Yeah, you really offered that 10%, then I think 15% discount.
I did really take advantage of the soda gun in between.
You made a lot of suicides.
I did. I was like, all right, tonic water and Red Bull. Let's go.
But when asked to make any real drink, that was...
You know, I figured that was not in the budget.
Or your skill set.
We
can't be good at everything. Thanks, God. Y'all. Go make something cool.
Thank you, Molly.
Bye.
Crowdfunding campaigns are great. You can add social proof and urgency to your product pre-orders while reducing risk of failure. But with traditional crowdfunding platforms, you're paying high fees and giving away control, all while your campaign is lost in a sea of similar offers. It can be frustrating. That's why we built Crowdfunder, the Shopify app that turns your Shopify product pages into your own independent crowdfunding campaigns. We originally created Crowdfunder for our private clients, and it was so successful, we turned it into an app that anyone can use. Today, merchants using Crowdfunder have raised millions collectively. With Crowdfunder, you'll enjoy real-time tracking, full campaign control, and direct customer engagement. And it's part of the Built for Shopify program, so you know it's easy to use. So say goodbye to high fees and hello to successful store-based crowdfunding. Start your free trial and transform your Shopify store into a pre-order powerhouse today. Search Crowdfunder in the Shopify App Store to get started.